Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
there's, you know, an urgent need, I guess, to support, you know, young people at what is, look, you know, a difficult time for everybody, but we are seeing young people are being hit the hardest.
It makes me think that A, we as a society have painted the wrong picture about what life is, and B, we've bogged young people down so much with expectation that they feel like they can't possibly meet it when, by just being themselves, they are already succeeding in life.
You know, they want to be working, they want to be contributing to society. But I think the pandemic and the crisis we're moving into now is just lacking that confidence to be able to do that.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to the programme. Great to have you with us, and lots to talk about on the programme once again. Plus, an event to let you know about as well. And this one should be a cracker because, depending on when you're listening to this, this coming Friday, the 3rd of February, I'm going to be on stage hosting the It's Mental live event at the Bolton Wanderers Football Stadium, Bolton in Lancashire, Greater Manchester. And I'm going to be on stage interviewing various different people, including Steve Robinson, who has been on the programme before from It's Mental, a host of brilliant guests as well. Some I can tell you about, some we've got to keep quiet about. We've got some football stars coming down, sports stars coming down, CEOs of big organisations that we've talked about on the programme in the past, plus some really inspiring figures as well. It's a brilliant away day, and actually it's been framed as a corporate away day. So if it's something that you're able to check out, It's Mental Live. You'll get to see some live recordings of Mental Health Monday as well, which is a little bit of something special as well, up on stage at Bolton Wanderers Football Stadium with It's Mental Live. Really looking forward to that. If you are coming down, do come and say hello. I'd love to meet you. Now, this week's programme takes a look at the Prince's Trust new NatWest Youth Index for 2023. So each and every year they do a survey of young people to find out how they're feeling about themselves, but also the world around them. And actually, what they found this year is that young people's sense of happiness and well-being is flatlining at an all-time low. So they've been doing this survey for like 14 years now, and things are worse now for young people than they have ever been. And that includes back in like 2008 during the financial crash. Money worries, uncertainty around their jobs, uncertainty around their opportunities, uncertainty about their own mental health as well. All major factors that young people are having to deal with. I'll give you a sense of some of the findings for this. The number of young people feeling that they will fail in life has increased, particularly among those from poorer backgrounds. 36% reported this compared to 25% 12 months ago. So a year ago, one in four young people from poor backgrounds worrying that they were going to fail at life. Now it's one in three. Half say they always or often feel anxious, 62% often stressed, more than two-fifths report experiencing a mental health problem. There are so many stats and facts contained within this survey, but actually let's absolutely make the point that this is people we're talking about. These are young people, 16 to 25, whose lives are being blighted by lack of opportunities, by the impact of the cost of living crisis, by their own mental health problems that maybe they've not been able to get sorted. So this is a really important conversation to get a sense of where young people are at, but also what services are out there, and also where young people are seeing the value. What do they want? What is it that they want from life? What are the things that will give them hope, optimism, you know, that chance to think that they can have a good future? Because we know that they can. But for some, it feels like that's not a pathway for them at the moment. And of course, that needs to change. Brilliant guest on the programme this week, Rachel Edwards, who's head of delivery partnerships for Prince's Trust, who was here to talk through the NatWest Youth Index for 2023. We started talking about the fact that absolutely, even though these stats are difficult to listen to, we've got to bear them in mind and focus on making things better for young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our latest Youth Index 2023 has shown us actually that, I guess the well-being of young people has stagnated at a all-time low really since the pandemic. And I think particularly if you reflect on the pandemic, it was already a turbulent time for young people. And actually now we've seen through our class of COVID campaign that actually this generation, post-pandemic, actually their well-being hasn't recovered. And there's, you know, an urgent need, I guess, to support, you know, young people around that, really, to give them, I guess, the confidence and skills to be able to move forward and feel, you know, positive about the future at what is, look, you know, a difficult time for everybody. But yeah, young people are, we are seeing young people are being hit the hardest.
We'll have time as part of this conversation to talk about the opportunities, those schemes, those projects that can help people sort of move forward. But I wanted to ask you about, in terms of your experience, Rachel, in terms of what young people are saying to you and the people that you're working with from the team at Prince's Trust about their experience. What is it? What are those actual things that are causing young people to feel this way?
Okay, I mean, I think particularly since the pandemic, I guess in recent months, you know, the rising cost of living that we're hearing, the coming recession, how is that going to impact on, you know, young people's, you know, goals and careers, aspirations? You know, these are big worries for young people. I guess thinking about money, you know, perhaps particularly we're seeing through the Youth Index, what they're saying is it depresses and stresses them. And actually is higher for young people that perhaps don't come from more less affluent backgrounds. I think as a result, then their confidence and happiness around money, you know, we're seeing actually is lower than actually when we started this index way back, you know, when there was in 2008 a global financial crisis. So I think it's around that, you know, that capability and that confidence, really. You know, we know, we see firsthand, you know, and I'm sure people will agree this, on, you know, what a job does for you in terms of your mental health, your well-being, your ability to engage in society. And obviously we're seeing without the lack of money, the real impact that it can have on, you know, young people's well-being and their, you know, sense of feeling worth, I guess, worth, you know, having some worth.
I think that sounds like a really crucial point as well, Rachel, because, you know, that sense of worth, you know, there's the stat that you found, 35% thought that money stresses them out, and I think people will be sort of sympathetic to that. 57% worry about the cost of living. I think absolutely people will empathize with that as well. But the thing that really stands out for me here, Rachel, is the fact that 2 out of 5 of the people who included in this survey feel hopeless about the future. And that speaks to me of something beyond things being a little bit difficult at the moment. That speaks to me of young people who are assessing their situation now and viewing its negative ramifications for a long way to come. To feel hopeless about the future is, it's a strong statement to make, but obviously one that young people have related to when they've looked at the opportunities through this survey to express that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have to remember that we're nearly three years this March since the pandemic, which, as I stated earlier, was a real turbulent time, you know, particularly for young people. And I guess we're 3 years on. And I suppose, you know, that is a long time, isn't it, in terms of young people. And actually, as I said, you know, well-being for young people hasn't recovered. And I think there's an urgent need to really help and support young people, which is what we do at the Trust, to give them the confidence and the skills. What we hear young people saying is they are determined, you know, they want to obviously achieve, you know, but at the same time, they need the practical support in order to be able to do that. And at the Trust, you know, for us, helping them to realise their potential is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, in terms of potential, another of those sort of survey stats that stand out, that reflect on how people are feeling, is that idea that 1 in 3 think that they will fail at life. And I think that's a really... it was quite upsetting, that, Rachel, I feel, in terms of that as the sense of what's expected of them or what their perceptions of life is or will be, they're failing, that sense they're not good enough, or that they won't hit, you know, the expectations of them as well. I think that, again, that I use the phrase upsetting, because it worries me that there's a generation who almost disengage from positivity, who would disengage or turn their back on great opportunities because they already feel like they've wasted it, or they already feel like they've given up, whereas quite clearly these opportunities will come. And we want to encourage people to take that opportunity, but to have one in three feeling that, you know, life is going to be something which is going to kind of pass them by and they're not going to quite, you know, catch the right train on it, makes me think that A, we as a society have painted the wrong picture about what life is, and B, we've bogged young people down so much with expectation that they feel like they can't possibly meet it, when by just being themselves, they are already succeeding in life.
Absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, having that financial stability in a job is really important. So I think, you know, people coming together and giving young people the support and opportunities they need, you know, so that they don't, you know, they can see that actually there is potential for them and there are opportunities for them. I mean, you know, just touching on that stat that you've raised, actually we find that, you know, feeling that failure in life is actually even worse for young people that come from poorer backgrounds or less affluent, you know. So that is also a concern in terms of how we help and support those young people that need us the most. That, you know, are feeling maybe more anxious, you know, and more stressed. I think, you know, from the survey, you know, the Youth Index, 56% of young people are saying they always or often feel anxious, you know, and that's a concern. And, you know, 62% of them saying, you know, always and often feeling stressed. So I think by, you know, giving young people the confidence and skills, you know, we can all do something to help young people, you know, moving forward. It has been a difficult time for everybody, but as I said, I think particularly for young people the most in the last 3 years. But, you know, talking to young people, they are determined, you know, they want to overcome these challenges. But yeah, support is really important for them now more than ever.
Do we need to just give young people a bit of a break? Do we just need to be nicer to them? Engage them in more conversations, ask them about how they're feeling about stuff. Is this something that we as the general public can do to sort of make that generation who maybe feel like that 3-year lockdown period and pandemic period is kind of like passed them by and they missed out on loads of opportunity? They're now sort of entering into this sort of world slightly bleary-eyed, knowing that there's a cost of living crisis and a recession to come. You know, should we just be nicer to young people, maybe?
I think, yeah, I mean, there's a whole thing about being nicer to ourselves in general, isn't there? I think, you know, particularly for a lot of people, they wonder where, you know, when I said it to you earlier, you know, 3 years in March is crazy to think, where's that 3 years gone? But yeah, particularly for young people, you know, we have to remember there's really vital and key points in a young person's life, you know, over those 3 years that perhaps have been missed. And I think, you know, we need to understand that better and remind ourselves what it is to be young. And actually, a lot of the things that maybe a rest of the population and generation experienced when they were growing up, these young people have missed out on, really. And are now, as I said, moving from, you know, being what we've kind of said is at the class of COVID, and that was a, you know, very much a campaign, you know, because we feel there's an urgent need to support young people. But also at the same time, yeah, it's like the impact now of economic uncertainty. And what does that mean for young people? So giving them a voice, listening to them, you know, and helping them actually to achieve their aspirations, because they are our future, right? you know, young people, you know, we want them to be able to have the skills needed for the jobs in the future and to feel the confidence to actually be able to apply for those roles.
I often think that if you were 16 years of age heading into your GCSE years and your exams were cancelled and your end of year leave was due, your prom was cancelled, and then you went on to college and none of your lessons were in a classroom. And then a few of them were, and then some of those exams got cancelled. Then you did some assessments and you were being told that those assessments weren't good enough. Then you got whatever assessments and you moved on to either, say, university, or you moved into a job. That actually now we're talking about 19-year-olds who have had that period of time in their lives where all of those things that they were building towards were either taken away from them or they weren't given the opportunity to participate in them. And they suddenly find themselves blinking out of the darkness into this world of adulthood, being expected to just then deal with everything that's coming their way. Oh, and by the way, that involves a recession, that involves a cost of living crisis, which means you can't afford to move out, which means, you know, you might struggle to make ends meet, which means you might have to contribute financially to, you know, your family just to make ends meet as well. That's a really tough, that's a tough time for anyone. But goodness me, those 16-year-olds back at the start of the pandemic have had a real rough ride.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just reflecting on what you're saying there, 16 to 19 should be some of the best times of your life, surely. But yet, you know, our youth index is highlighting here the general feeling of hopelessness for these young people and the impact that that is having on their well-being. I think what we find actually is also that not just, you know, being in education or having a job or, you know, running your own business, not only obviously does that give you an income, as you've highlighted, it gives you so much more other things, doesn't it? Like being in education, you know, mixing with other young people, being in a job, socialising, you know, communication, all those kind of things. A lot of young people have missed out on building those skill sets, and actually those skill sets are really vital in terms of entering, you know, the employment world. So I think it's really vital that we're able to build young people's confidence around those skills, you know, for the future.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important that you use the words, you know, skills and skill set there, because, you know, we shouldn't define our young people at all, should we, by, you know, what job they do or how much money they're earning. But we also know that that's obviously a key part of sort of contributing to general society and so on and so forth. But those skill sets, those opportunities, they can come from volunteering, they can come from hobbies and sports clubs and activities and all those things. But equally, each of those were shut down and curtailed for that period of time as well, which is why those skill sets are so important. If we talk about opportunity now, 2/3 of young people, I love this stat, are determined to achieve their goals. I like that. What are they asking for, Rachel? Because to a certain extent, if those things have been taken away, they're not necessarily coming back. You're not going to get your high school prom again. You know, those things are kind of gone. But what are young people looking for? What are those opportunities that they're seeking to sort of feel that they can get themselves back on track and improve some of those things that we've spoken about there, about a sense of hope for the future?
Absolutely. So I think the Youth Index has shown us actually that 64% of young people are saying their biggest goal in life is financial security, and also, you know, good mental health, and then followed by having a family. And actually, if you think about some of the things we've already talked about in terms of, you know, having a job then allows you to, you know, be able to afford interests, being able to afford hobbies. Do you know what I mean? That helps with your mental health, with your well-being, because you've got a sense of purpose, you know, a reason to get up every morning, you know, whether that's running your own business, you know, going to education, having a job. And then obviously through that, you know, the socialisation aspect, and in being able to make those relationships with other young people as they meet in life. So I think it's not only about having that financial security and capability. What we hear from young people is it does give them all that other softer stuff, you know, that maybe we take for granted, you know, in terms of having good well-being, you know, mixing with other people, the ability to build relationships. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's great to see. And we definitely hear that young people, you know, they are determined. These are a determined, you know, generation, which is great. It's great to see. You know, they want to be working. They want to be doing things. They want to be contributing to society. But I think, as I said, the pandemic and the crisis we're moving into now is just lacking that confidence, you know, to be able to do that, really.
it's interesting, that one, because I almost think, you know, two-thirds, you know, report financial security being, you know, their biggest goal in life. A part of me thinks, well, God, don't let money be the thing that decides. But actually, as you just said there, Rachel, it's that financial security then means, well, that means I've got enough money to go on holiday. That gives me enough money to go and do the things that I want to do. It gives me social opportunities that come your way. What I would always say, though, Rachel, is that, and I'm 40 years old now, but I can happily report that financials, you're never quite financially secure. You know what I mean? There's always that thing, isn't there, in life whereby no matter when your income is and when you bought a house or when you start paying your childcare costs and you're still paying back your student loan and all that stuff, that element of financial security, if you're looking for a bell you can ring, it goes ding, 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 I'm financially secure now. I'm not sure that bell ever,
exists. But I guess when you're starting out, you know, if you think particularly if you're unemployed or you've come from a poorer background, do you know what I mean? That's even harder, isn't it, to reach? And certainly we know that, you know, definitely we find at the trust from young people that, you know, gain a job or they start their own business, the confidence and the doors and opportunities that can open for them can hopefully, and we see, you know, lead them to living a more sustainable and fulfilled life than young people that, yeah, are, you know, not in education, employment and training and really struggling in life. And of course, as you get older, those aspirations move and shift, don't they? But first and foremost, I think giving these opportunities to young people to even have, you know, that opportunity then to participate in wider society is really, really crucial moving forward.
I think so, and as well, and I think you've hinted at it as well, that it's not necessarily the end goal, that it's a job or it's an apprenticeship certificate or it's a degree certificate. Actually, the journey that takes you to that point is actually the thing that builds your confidence, that makes you feel like you're part of something, that gets you mixing in new friends, that maybe moves you to a different part of the country even, or even helps you invest in your own part. And actually, that becomes the actual job, then doesn't become the thing. It becomes a symptom of the thing, which is you growing and seizing opportunity and taking opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the trust, you know, our programs and our support are vital to build those essential skills to get young people ready for work, to, you know, present them with opportunities so that, you know, then it opens those doors for them and they can start to, you know, build that kind of life for themselves, really.
And I think as well, I think I'm right, Sonny, something like 3 in 4 people who come through your door take on those opportunities as well. So, which is a really a high hit rate, if you like, of people who are coming through the doors of the Prince's Trust. And I guess that's about you finding the opportunities to engage with young people, but also young people maybe seeking out organisations like yourselves to think, well, what might it look like? If I can't see the hope, if I can't see my pathway forward, I can't quite see what those opportunities are, how do I get into a room with people who maybe can? And actually, that's where your expertise really comes to the fore, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we've been doing this, you know, since the trust was started up in 1976. You know, we've helped 1 million young people, you know, since then, really. And many of them, you know, have gone on to be young entrepreneurs, you know, moved up through the ranks in employment. So a lot of the time it is just giving them that opportunity and building that self-esteem and confidence in them, as well as providing that practical support and that, you know, that help that maybe they haven't had. It's really vital.
And when those people come back to you and maybe get into a workshop with, you know, a group of young people who are at that starting point, and they say to that room, I was sitting where you were sat and I was feeling how you feel however many years ago. And now look at me. That must be a really special moment for them, but also to give those young people in that room that sense of scale, that sense of what the next 10, 15, 20 years might look like for them.
Absolutely. And it shows you, doesn't it, that actually when those young people give back and they talk to other young people, that actually shows how much the support and help helped them. And actually how they can inspire the next, you know, generation of young people to actually say, yeah, if you reach out and you access the programs and you get the support, actually there is a future. you know, it can happen for you. So there is nothing more inspiring than a young person talking to a young person, because they will have lived in their shoes.
Go on, there must be, there's probably loads of examples, but go on, can you give me an example of someone who, when you think about them and the journey they've been on with yourselves, that sort of fills your heart with joy?
Yeah.
Makes your heart sing a little bit?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I've worked for the Trust for 11 years. I've met a lot of young people. But yeah, there's particularly, I mean, actually just this week I was at an event with a group of young people that have actually become young ambassadors for the Trust. And that's where young people have been through a Prince's Trust programme. They're now in, you know, work education or running their own business, and they actually come back and, you know, support the Trust from a voluntary point of view, to talk to other young people, to talk to decision makers, to talk to funders, you know, about the needs of young people and how the support of organisations can help young people moving forward. So there's actually a young person that started up a business, became, you know, one of these, a young ambassador. She started her own business through the Trust. And actually now she's a delivery partner for the Prince's Trust. So she's become full circle. So not only has she, you know, come to us, you know, when times weren't great, you know, she started up her business, a successful business now. She's running a successful business. She's become a young ambassador, so she's inspiring other young people. But at the same time now, she's actually delivering sessions on behalf of the Trust to other young people. So that's just an example, really, of how, if you give a young person an opportunity and you give them the support, they can really do great things.
Yeah, for them to bring it back full circle as well shows their acknowledgement of the work that you guys put in with them and how vital that they saw that service as well. Absolutely. Let's point people in the direction of the Prince's Trust website, princes-trust.org.uk. That's princes-trust.org.uk. I'll put a link as well in the podcast write-up where people can get the link to the survey results as well and find out some more about the work that's gone through the Young People's Index. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you sort of going through some of those number crunching and sort of stats and things like that. But I think, as we've made the point there, it's about people, it's about young people. If we can all be a little bit nicer to both young people and to ourselves, to maybe look for those opportunities as well that young people can engage with as well, then fingers crossed we can start to see those numbers start to pick up in all the right places and put these young people on a positive pathway.
Absolutely. And I guess I would just ask, remember that young people are our future, so they need, you know, they need our support.
That's a great shout, Rachel. Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.